Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Happy Tuesday, May 21, 2019. Ah, boy, yeah, it feels good to be on the air speaking with you all on a beautiful Tuesday. It's a bit chilly outside. Highs in the 50s. I'm really hoping that 70 or 80 degree weather comes quick. Please. Please. I feel like we just have a long fall right now, right? All right, but we plan on warming you up today, as we always do, with another hot edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We aim each and every day at 1 o'clock to not disappoint you, unlike the series finale of Game of Thrones did on Sunday. That's another topic, though. That's another topic. People are still talking about that. You know, you heard my thoughts on it yesterday. People are still irate about how the series ended. And I really enjoyed season 8 up until that finale. But hey, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? Well, on today's Current Sports, we will be chatting in just a moment with the lead preps writer for the Lansing State Journal, my man Brian Calloway, as he has been very busy getting ready and now in the thick of things when it comes to covering the Dean Shipley Capital Diamond Classic, Mid-Michigan's premier high school baseball tournament. And, of course, Brian was in the house for the opener at McLane Stadium, home of the Michigan State baseball team, yesterday. He's going to give us an update on what happened between East Lansing and Pewamo Westphalia, as well as Portland St. Pat and DeWitt. We'll give you scores in just a moment with our headliners, but he'll give us details. Also, he'll help us preview today's slate, which will feature Lansing Catholic in Fowlerville at 5 p.m., and then at 7 p.m., Williamston will take on Eaton Rapids. It will be a roughly 7 p.m. first pitch for that, all right? But I also want to get Brian's thoughts on the new seeding format when it comes to high school football and basketball here in the great state of Michigan. I think it's long overdue. We'll get the thoughts of Brian on that as well. And then later on this hour, we will talk about the Golden State Warriors going to the NBA Finals for a fifth straight year. That was a fun game last night. That's a bit of why I'm tired a little bit today, because I stayed up late watching the Golden State Warriors just squeak out that win over the Portland Trail Blazers. Break out the brooms, though, because the Warriors get the sweep, and that means they now have 9 days of rest ahead of them. That's awesome for the Warriors, right? And on the back end of the show, I want to talk about a video that was just released by TMZ Sports that concerns one of my Dallas Cowboys players. Hold tight for that one, folks, if you would like to be a part of today's Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below the live stream there. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Again, when it comes to the Diamond Classic yesterday at McLane Stadium, I want to give you guys score updates from what happened on Monday. Pawamo Westphalia topped East Lansing 4-3. Also, Portland St. Pat ended up beating DeWitt 1-0. And as I mentioned today, you can catch Lansing Catholic taking on Fowlerville at 5 p.m. and then 2 hours after that. At 7 p.m., Eaton Rapids will play Williamston. Again, keep it locked here as we will be chatting with Ryan Calloway, lead preps writer for the Lansing State Journal, as he'll talk Diamond Classic with us, help preview tonight's slate. And, again, we'll get his thoughts on the high school football and basketball format of seeding. Love that idea. All right, Michigan State golfers Halen Harris and Allison Gearpark wrapped up the 2019 National Championships with the final round on Monday at Blessings Golf Club in Arkansas. Harris turned in a 3-over par 76 on Monday and finished her first National Championship appearance at 12-over par 231, while Gearpark shot a 10-over par 83 to finish 17-over par 236. So, solid outings for both Harris and Gearpark. All right, the Michigan softball team, their season has come to an end as they were beaten by James Madison 2-1 the final. And with the win, the Dukes advance to the Super Regional, which will be hosted by UCLA. Also, Justin Rogers. When Oak Park four-star offensive lineman Justin Rogers committed to Kentucky on Monday, his mother was a little disappointed. Joya Townsend is her name. Not that her talented son was leaving the state. Rogers is the nation's top offensive guard for 2020 and the top player in Michigan per 247 Sports. But to which state he was going, that's why his mom was not thrilled. This is what the mother of Justin Rogers had to say. Joya Townsend, quote, "I like Georgia." That's what she said after the announcement. "I like the official visit, and I like the culture. I had the pleasure of visiting Georgia. We just came back Sunday. I like Coach Sam Pittman." But I like this because at the end of the day, it is about that kid's individual decision. All right? Sure, there's going to be some influence from his parents. He's going to get feedback from his parents and get feedback from, you know, those who are closest to him. But at the end of the day, it is that young man or woman who has to make that decision. So his final decision, Rogers' final decision, was between Georgia and Kentucky. He also considered Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, Tennessee, and, oh, yeah, that team out in Ann Arbor, the Michigan Wolverines. But he never built a deep chemistry with the Wolverines, though U of M made a late charge led by new offensive coordinator Josh Gattis. Townsend said she never spoke to any Michigan coaches. How does that happen? How is the mother of a top recruit like Justin Rogers, if you really want to go at him, you don't talk to his mom? She never talked to any Michigan coaches, including, that does include Jim Harbaugh, despite her son having received an offer from the Wolverines early in his high school career. So Michigan really, that's what that tells me. Michigan really did not want him if his mom didn't even talk to Jim Harbaugh or any coach on that staff. All right, speaking of the University of Michigan, yesterday, Iggy Brazdeikis, he completed his first NBA individual workout for the Detroit Pistons. Of course, Iggy is the former University of Michigan basketball star. He has not formally announced that he will forego the rest of his college eligibility, so I shouldn't say former Michigan star just yet. So, but that seems to be a formality, especially after Michigan coach John Beilein announced last week that he was leaving the Wolverines to become the head coach of the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers. It will really surprise everybody out there if Iggy decided to still come back with Michigan. This is what Iggy reiterated yesterday. Quote, "I'm definitely leaning towards staying in the draft for sure. I talked to my agents, and they said that they were going to make an announcement about it soon." He goes on to say, "Beilein's departure definitely plays a role for sure. Coach Beilein is the reason I came to Michigan in the first place, and seeing him leave affects that decision." So, as you see right there, it looks like Iggy is going to stay in the draft, not pull his name and come back from Michigan. All right, the Golden State Warriors stamped their ticket to the to their fifth consecutive NBA Finals by bringing out the brooms on Dalla Dame and the Portland Trail Blazers last night as they edged out Damian Lillard and the Blazers 119-117. That was a game that I did think the Blazers were going to pull out. I didn't think that the Blazers were going to get swept. And, you know, a crazy stat that I heard about Golden State getting this win is that I believe it's something like they trailed in more minutes than they were ahead throughout this series, and yet they still get a sweep. How insane is that? Trailed more minutes than they were ahead throughout those four games, and they still win each and every one. Unreal, right? So this game was an offensive showdown. The Warriors scoring 36 in the first while Portland scored 35. Draymond Green, a triple-dub for him, 18 points, 11 assists, 14 rebounds. My, oh, my, as he elevated his game recently. Steph Curry also did work, as he has been doing throughout that series. 37 points, 11 assists, 13 rebounds. Draymond and Steph, yes, you heard right, both had triple-doubles last night. So the Warriors will take on whoever wins between the Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks. Game four tonight between those two at 8:30 p.m. on TNT. The Bucks up 2-1. The Detroit Tigers will play host to the Miami Marlins. And as we chatted about yesterday, the Tigers just are not great right now. 18-26 on the year, hoping to turn things around after being currently on a 6-game losing streak, including a 17-3 loss to the Oakland Athletics at the quarter mark of the season. They are playing exactly how we guessed, right? Offensive woes continue to plague the team. Decent pitching, keeping them somewhat in the chase. So tonight's matchup at Comerica Park against Miami on Fox Sports Detroit. Again, that is a 7:10 p.m. first pitch. Also in the NHL playoffs, the San Jose Sharks are on the road at the St. Louis Blues. Puck drop slated for 8 p.m. All right. And in that series, St. Louis leads 3-2. So game six here. All right. That does it for your quick hit headliners. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here we go. All right, folks, later on this hour, I want to get your thoughts on the Golden State Warriors going to the NBA Finals for a fifth straight time. That is the longest finals streak since the 50s. Yeah, you got to go all the way back to the Boston Celtics of the 1950s when they went to something crazy like 8 or 9 NBA Finals, straight NBA Finals appearances. I really believe, and this is what you get from us diehard Michael Jordan fans, I really believe that if Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, if MJ didn't decide that he had a an itch that he needed to scratch in the world of baseball, I believe that the Chicago Bulls probably would have gone to 8 straight NBA finals. But hey, Jordan left, quote unquote, retired, picked up a baseball bat. Wasn't, and you know, a lot of people think that Jordan was just like absolutely horrible at it. Watch Jordan Rides the Bus, that 30 for 30, and they'll give you a different take on that. He wasn't absolutely horrid, but he wasn't like a bona fide star. So he played baseball for 2 years, came back, Bulls won after, you know, when he did come back the first year, wearing number 45. They didn't win that year. But the year after that, they begin the second three-peat of the MJ era in the 90s. All right, but I want to get your thoughts on how good this Golden State Warriors team is. How impressive is this accomplishment in your eyes, going to 5 straight NBA finals? That, you know, that's pretty impressive stuff. You know, does that elevate how you feel about this historic franchise even more? Do you think this is the best team that you've ever seen with your own two eyes? Because the Warriors did this without what? Not one, not two, but 3 of their starters out. Right? I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, Kevin Durant, and Andre Iguodala. All not available last night, and they still get the win. So, we'll get to that later on this hour in about 15 minutes. But first, I know he's short on time, and he has a meeting at 1:30. I know his time is precious. Right now, we have Brian Callaway on the line. He is the lead preps writer at the Lansing State Journal to talk some Diamond Classic and more with us. Brian, happy Tuesday, brother.
Hey, happy Tuesday, man. How you doing?
Always good chatting with you, man. You are one of the most hardest working reporters that I know, and you always do fantastic work. And I was following a bit of your Twitter feed as you were, of course, covering the Diamond Classic, and read a few of your articles in preparation for our chat today. Just, Brian, first off, I just want you to just talk about the field. The field of this year's Diamond Classic, what makes it so impressive in your eyes?
Well, what makes it so impressive is, I mean, there's seven teams that are entered the Diamond Classic ranked in the state baseball poll. So that's very impressive right off the bat. I mean, you have the top two teams in Division III and Division IV. So that's Kalama Wasilla in Division III and Portland St. Patrick in Division IV. You have Grand Ledge, which is annually an area power that's, you know, won this thing 27 times. And then you have a team like Mason that's only lost 3 times and was one of the other top seeds and the top team and top 10 team in Division II. You look at Fowlerville, they're having a really good season, and they're a top 10 team in Division II. And there's other teams as well, too, that have had very good seasons that are ranked in the state polls, like Eden Rapids and Williamston as well, too. So it's just a pretty loaded field of teams that have had very good seasons and that are ranked in the state rankings as well, too. So I think that automatically just, you know, makes the field so impressive.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, you're involved in the selection process a bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I just give a little bit of insight, you know, when they're asking about different teams, and just provide some records and also, you know, give them a little bit of an idea of maybe how that team did against certain teams in the area. So I'm just kind of there for to provide some knowledge and about some of the teams and some records and things like that.
Certainly. All right. Yesterday we saw East Lansing and Pawamawisvilla playing game 1, and then Portland St. Pat against DeWitt in game 2, both games in the Classic, again, being held at McLane Stadium, home of Michigan State's baseball team. And we just announced the scores of those two games during our headliners, Brian, as Pawamawisvilla squeaked out a win over East Lansing 4-3, and then Portland St. Pat over DeWitt 1-0. Takeaways from those two games.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it was a big day for the teams from the CMAC, obviously, with Pawamawisvilla and Portland St. Patrick, you know, coming up with wins in this tournament. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a few years since a team from a CMAC won a game, and I think the last time was in 2015 or 2016 when there's a matchup of CMAC teams to open up the tournament. So for both of those schools to, you know, begin the Diamond Classic by beating some bigger schools, that was very impressive. And you know, they were both very entertaining games as well, too. And that's also something that makes the Diamond Classic stand out. Both of these games with 1 run. You know, East Lansing had a chance in the final inning after scoring a run to kind of, you know, score the tying run. And, you know, DeWitt had the tying run on base as well, too. But I felt like, especially that DeWitt Portland St. Patrick game, very well-pitched game, and Logan Simon, a tough luck loser for DeWitt, you know, striking out 13 and, you know, only allowing one hit and still losing the game. But it was just that competitive of an atmosphere last night. And just a great setting for high school baseball as well, too. And the other thing I want to note, too, and we didn't find this out until after the game.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But East Lansing was playing with a little bit of heavy hearts and lost their assistant and veteran pitching coach who died. They found out that he died while they were playing the game, and he had collapsed at a practice when they were doing batting practice prior to the game last night. So that was a very tough situation for those kids from East Lansing.
So you find that's where I was going next, Brian, because I'm literally just now seeing this story from your colleague Eric Lacey at the Lansing State Journal. Ed Outslay, he passed away on Monday after throwing batting practice for the Trojans varsity team at the high school before the Diamond Classic game. So are you just now finding out this news, Brian?
No, I actually heard about it early this morning. I actually talked to Coach Mark Pendred over at East Lansing about this as well, too. And he actually tried to do some CPR on him afterwards. And you know, he was just throwing the batting practice yesterday before they were heading over to Michigan State, and it wasn't feeling well. And he ended up collapsing, and you know, the players, you know, saw that, and they cooperated. They did everything that you know, coach asked them to do, but they weren't able to save him. So it was a very, very, very tough situation for them, and they found out after the game about his passing. So,
oh my goodness, and I can only imagine what were going through their heads during that game against Pomona, Westphalia. When something like that happens, just, you know, moments before you got to hit the field. So he was 67. Ed Outslay was 67 years old. Okay, to less important matters, Brian, back to the Classic. When you look at today's matchups, again, Lansing Catholic versus Fowlerville at 5 p.m., Eaton Rapids versus Williamson at 7 p.m., how do you view both of those matchups?
Well, I think they both should continue the trend of very entertaining games that we've seen so far in the tournament. And you look at the Eaton Rapids and Williamson game. I mean, that's a matchup between two teams that are ranked in the top 20 in Division II as well, too. So I think that definitely adds some intrigue. And you know, both of those teams are former league rivals as well, too, because obviously Williamson moved to the CAAC Red this year. So, and even in the first game is a matchup of former league rivals, too, with Fowlerville and Lansing Catholic, and obviously Fowlerville left the CAAC White for the CAAC Red this year as well, too. So I think these matches are both going to be very entertaining, and we've seen some good pitching so far in the Diamond Classic, and I expect that to be the case again with some of the arms that these teams have.
And who is the favorite out of the field, Brian, in your eyes?
No, I think when you're a Grand Ledge program and you've won this thing 27 times and 8 times in the last 10 years, I mean, I think that automatically they, you know, they're the team that's the favorite. I mean, they were probably the top seed going in, and they have a lot of pieces back from last year's squad that ended up winning the title. And then the other team, you know, Mason has had a really good season. I mean, they have they lost to Mount Pleasant recently with a split, but that's a very typically a good Mount Pleasant program. And, you know, they won the CAAC Red this year. They beat Fowlerville twice. You know, they've got a nice resume, and they've got some two very good senior pitchers in Trent Stewie and Dylan McGee as well, too. So I think, you know, when you look at the favorites, I mean, it's got to start with both Mason and Perennial Power, Grand Ledge.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with picking Grand Ledge to go all the way in the Diamond Classic, can you, Brian, every single year?
I mean, they're the team that's wound up holding that trophy the most often, and so it's hard to bet against them and all the success that, you know, Coach Pat O'Keefe has had with that program over the year, and just the large number of returning players that team has from last year's team that reached the state quarterfinals.
Yeah, Pat O'Keefe, a legend in the area. Okay, Brian, I know we're short on time here, but I do want to get your thoughts on seeding now coming to high school basketball, soccer, and football as well, right?
Well, football isn't necessarily seeding, but they're just restructuring the way that the playoffs are set up. So with football, the win requirement is going to be gone in football. And I think the football rule is going to be very intriguing because it'll be interesting to see how teams schedule for that 2020 season, because now they're going to be rewarded for maybe playing some tougher teams as opposed to shying away from them, as has been the case in years past. So obviously, when you have programs around here like DeWitt and you know, Lansing Catholic, and you know, some of those bigger school programs that have perennially been good over the years, teams don't necessarily want to play those teams when looking for non-conference games, because in the past, teams have been trying to figure out a way where they could get that 6 wins and get mm-hmm. their program into the playoffs. So
yep.
I think that's going to change things a little bit, and maybe coaches hope that it eliminates some of the travel concerns that they have because of, you know, because sometimes schools have been having to travel at least 1.5 to 2 hours for games because that's the only games that they can get in their schedule with teams that will want to play them. So I think that's going to be an intriguing rule to see how it unfolds in 2020 and what kind of matches that we will get in the area. Like, in the recent years, we've obviously seen Grand Legend DeWitt, you know, play each other in football. And that's a very good, you know, juicy matchup for the area. And it's good to see matchups like that on a non-conference schedule in addition to the good games that we see in the league. So that's going to be very intriguing. And as far as the basketball and soccer seeding, I think that's been a long time coming, and it's definitely going to be great to see. I mean, teams be rewarded for what they do during the regular season, because so many times, you know, over the years, you know, we've seen some of these matchups in the opening round of the state tournament where two very good teams that should be meeting for district titles, you know, mm-hmm. playing in the opening game. And I feel like that's just kind of a shame, especially when you work so hard to put together a good season and then it ends on the opening night of the state tournament just because of the luck of a draw with the district matchup. So I think that's going to be a very good rule for next year in both basketball and soccer to see. And I think it's going to add some incentive to the regular season as well, too.
All great points, Brian, especially the points about football, because we've seen certain schools out there that schedule the lollipop so that they can just get, you know, another win that goes toward, you know, getting that hopefully eventual 6 win so you can make the postseason. All of that goes out the window now, and you have to really look at your schedule a bit differently. And the fact that you're getting rewarded for playing the big dogs, long time coming in that area too. Brian, outstanding job. Thank you so much, my man. I'll let you get to your meeting.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Always great chatting with Brian. Brian Callaway, the lead preps writer for the Lansing State Journal. But again, you know, we got Alec Rio behind the glass. And, you know, we touched on this when it was announced earlier this month, Alec. You know, it reminded me so much. You know, we would have these conversations here on Current Sports all the time, how much high school football here in the state of Michigan reminds me of how college football is. When you see that, all right, you need 6 wins to become bowl eligible in college football, and you need 6 wins at the high school football level to become postseason eligible as well. And you look at that and say, okay, I mean, what coach out there is not going to look at that and say, all right, who can I play? What teams out there can I play that I have a pretty good percentage of beating so that I can get some wins in that win column that go towards the 6. Now that that's out the window for some of these high school football teams, and the fact that you're getting rewarded for playing upper echelon teams, even if you lose, let's say you lose to a big dog like a Ithaca here in the area, right? But Ithaca continues to win throughout the season, that you get a percentage of those wins as their year moves along. So I love it. I think it's long overdue, and now you don't have teams running from certain schools, right? Like it?
I love it, to be quite honest. Like we said about like teams like my high school, that would be that team that most schools like De La Salle and them would beat on. You know, it's
what
just
high school
that,
did you
it's,
go to? What high school was this?
What was that?
What high school did you go to, Alec?
Cardinal Mooney Catholic High School.
Okay. And where is that at? Where is that located?
It's way over by the thumb. Like, I'd say it's about 45 minutes northeast of Detroit. And it's like you can literally see Canada from the second story of my school.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. So your school was a school that not great at in athletics.
Not really.
So they would look at your school and say, yeah, that's an easy one we put on the schedule. But, yeah, it'll stop that stuff. And I love that. I love that, because at the end of the day, it's about competition, and it's about playing, seeing how you match up against some of the big teams out there. So much thanks for Brian Callaway taking some time out of his very busy schedule to join us today. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to comment on what the Golden State Warriors are doing, because it's pretty special. Can't deny it. It's pretty special, as the Warriors have just booked the ticket to their fifth straight NBA Finals appearance. Also want to make a point about former Michigan State great Draymond Green. If you want to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, again, before I move forward here, I do have two stories, two breaking stories that I want to pass along to you all. I am seeing here from ESPN that Providence men's basketball coach Ed Cooley, he has opted to remain with the Friars after meeting with the University of Michigan. As we all know right now, the University of Michigan is in search of its next basketball coach, because John Beilein decided to chuck up the deuces and said, I'm going to the NBA, baby. I'm going to coach the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, as things have progressed over the days, U of M now is having interviews, and Providence coach Ed Cooley, his name was in the running. He has decided to stay put at Providence after meeting with Michigan officials on Monday. All right. He has agreed, I guess, to a, let's see here, a multi-year contract extension with Providence. So the school has officially announced that Cooley has withdrawn his name from consideration at Michigan. And this is what Cooley had to say. Here's a quote from Cooley, quote, while it's very flattering to be considered for other head coaching jobs, after talking with my family, I have decided to remain in my hometown of Providence. The Friars are my family. Most importantly, my commitment is to my players and my team at Providence. So there you have that. Now, Michigan could now, if I had to guess here, I think Michigan is going to turn its attention now to Juwan Howard, you know, former Michigan basketball star from the 90s with the Fab Five. He is now an assistant coach with the NBA's Miami Heat. So the Wolverines are expected to interview Juwan Howard today. Heck, they may be talking to him right now. Who knows? They have also met with Luke Yaklich and Saadi Washington, who were assistants the past few years under Johnny B. All right? So other names, Butler coach Laval Jordan, and Texas's Shaka Smart have been linked to the job as well. So I'm just keeping up with the rumor mill here when it comes to who is going to replace John Beilein. They met with Luke Yaklich, Saadi Washington, Laval Jordan, Shaka Smart. But if I had to guess here, if the interview today goes well with Juwan Howard, I think he is going to be the next head men's basketball coach for the Maize and the Blue. And the other story I wanted to pass along to you, if you are just now tuning in and you didn't get to hear my conversation with Brian Callaway of the Lansing State Journal, longtime assistant basketball coach at East Lansing High School, Ed Outslay, sadly has passed away. He died on Monday after throwing batting practice for the Trojans varsity team at the high school right before EL's Diamond Classic matchup. So he ended up collapsing, as Brian noted. And, you know, he took a break. This is what the article reads here. LSJ's Eric Lacey has this piece up, and he says that Outslay took a break from throwing pitches between 2:30 p.m. and 2:45 p.m. one Monday, and he collapsed. As you heard Brian also note, head coach Mark Pendred, he administered CPR to Outslay until paramedics arrived. Paramedics also tried to revive Outslay. While he was transported to a local hospital, And that is when he sadly was pronounced dead. So, can you imagine that? You know, Outslay collapses, what, like 2 hours before East Lansing plays in the opening game against Pawama Westphalia in the Diamond Classic. And you got that on your mind? That's heavy stuff. So on behalf of us all here at WKAR's Current Sports, we want to offer a ton of thoughts, prayers, and love to the entire East Lansing baseball team and the entire East Lansing high school community. That's just really tough stuff. Life is never promised, folks. He was just 67 years old. 67 years old. Okay. Before I talk Warriors basketball, I do want to give a special shout out to one of our job shadows today. His name is Ryan Walker. And yes, his last name is Walker. And yes, he is related to our very own Brad Walker here at WKAR. Ryan is, and Ryan, can you stand up so the beautiful people can see you on the, I'm totally embarrassing him, man, on the live stream here. You see Ryan's face, and he's rocking a Huntington University baseball cap. That's because Ryan is a pretty big baseball star. Really is. I can say that. He's a pretty big baseball star. He pitched at Eden Rapids High School and ended up getting offered a scholarship to Huntington University. If you don't know where that is, that's in Huntington, Indiana. He just completed his first year. It a bit unfortunate because, you know, Ryan hurt, I believe it was what, Ryan, your shoulder, right? He hurt his right shoulder. So, you know, but still got a chance to travel with the team to experience what it's like being in college and playing college ball and being around teammates and being on the road. Awesome, awesome stuff. And two questions before I proceed here, Ryan. One, What was your first year like, and how enjoyable was it despite the injury? And two, are you rolling with your Eden Rapids Greyhounds to pull out the win tonight in the Diamond Classic as ER takes on Williamston in the nightcap game?
Oh, so, for sure. I'm going with Eden Rapids all day. They're playing Williamston. They used to be in the conference last year, so it's going to be a good game. Two top 20 teams in Division Two, so it's going to be a fun matchup there to see the guys again. College was great for the first year. We won the conference tournament, or no, we won the conference regular season outright, and we lost in the tournament. So we got to go to opening round of the NAIA World Series in Macon, Georgia. We unfortunately lost two games and we're out, but it was fun to get a little suntan and watch some cool baseball at the Macon Bacon Park there down in Macon, Georgia.
Right, and it's awesome because also, Ryan, you are an aspiring broadcaster as well. So you're studying journalism, broadcast journalism at Huntington, right?
Yeah, we got journalism down at Huntington and minoring in broadcasting. I did a baseball game down there for Huntington on my own team. So it was I had some insight, and I also did a basketball game on the radio. So
that is awesome. I better watch my back. You may be taking my job soon. All right. That is awesome stuff. So and Ryan, you actually talked before the show, and you said that you paid the team a visit at practice, right? And they kind of went wild. You still know the members of the Eden Rapids baseball team, right? Because you're only 1 year removed from that squad, right?
Yep. I came back. It's kind of we had a small team, so we all knew each other very, very well. We spent a trip down in Cocoa Beach, Florida last year. So we know each other very well, and we only lost three guys last year, including myself. So it's pretty much the same team. So I came up to practice. They're all like, oh, Ryan's here, and they hurt my shoulder a little bit, but that's okay. I love the guys. So
that's awesome. And, you know, and one final question. If there are any athletes out there, Ryan, whether it be at the high school level or even at the college level, who have or who are going through an injury that, you know, is, you know, that gets you down, right? Because you want to be out there, you want to be playing, you want to be out there with your teammates and helping contribute to hopefully wins, right? If there are any athletes who are going through an injury right now, and you again, you went through one in your first year of college, what kind of advice would you give them, man?
I would just tell them, just trust the process, like Philadelphia would say. You just, if you have a significant injury like I did, where I tore my labrum and my rotator cuff, you kind of just have to I had the surgery, and everybody told me, do the therapy that they tell you. A lot of people will skip it after a month or so. You need to do the therapy because there's a chance I won't be able to throw again. There's other athletes out there that tear ACLs. They have to do their required therapy to get better, and that's really what you need to do to get back to what you love to do. And I've been missing pitching so much, especially when the team goes to these conference championship games and down in Macon, where I have to just kind of have to sit back. It's a great experience, but I definitely want to be a part of it a little bit more on the mound. So. Yeah.
So just stick to the treatment. And I know it's tough mentally, but just stick to the treatment. All right. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank
Pops
you.
Proud. We're proud, man. We're proud over here at WKAR of everything you're doing. So it's awesome stuff. Okay. The Golden State Warriors, 5 straight NBA Finals appearances. Unreal, right? I mean, I watched that game last night, and I really thought that the Blazers were going to pull it. Can I be totally transparent with you guys? Alec, can I do that right now?
Of course.
I hate the Golden State Warriors. It hit me last night. I hate this team. I don't hate individual people, but I'm just saying, as a team, I hate the Golden State Warriors. I have to admit that. You know why? Because this team is just too good. Now, I appreciate greatness. You know, I am a fan of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, and they pretty much dominated the 90s. So I got into this conversation with my stepdad last night, and he's sitting there and he messages me like, well, you know, you don't hate MJ and the Bulls, but I'm like, yeah, well, that's Michael Jordan though. You know, watching Michael Jordan play was. My gosh, it was almost a transformative experience. It was unreal watching MJ do what he did. When it comes to the Warriors, and don't get me wrong, Steph Curry, you know, once in a generation kind of player, the greatest shooter of all time. He is so fun to watch. But I think why, when I really sat there and let it digest for me, why I hate this franchise so much. And I even, in my closet, Alec, I have a blue and gold Golden State Warriors cap that I bought when they were first rolling, when they first started rolling, because I'm like, man, I mean, how can you hate Steph Curry? I mean, look at Klay, and this team was built organically, and Draymond Green, you know. But I think it was when Kevin Durant, that's why. I think that's where all of my hate and anger comes from. It's because Kevin Durant wanted some easy rings, and he decided to go to Golden State to get them. And that's the moment I stopped wearing my Golden State Warriors cap. That's the moment I said to myself, I can't support this team anymore. That's the moment when I actively began rooting against the Golden State Warriors. So it's more of a the KD decision was what did it for me. And then, the whole Hampton 5 thing, right, where Draymond and the fellas, they all went out to the Hamptons and they recruited Kevin Durant. I just hated that. You know, because I'm a competitor, I like to see competitors compete. But even with that said, even with my strong hate for the Warriors, you can still hate a team, but respect the heck out of them. And that's how I view what the Golden State Warriors are doing right now. Now, we can sit here and debate, you know, oh, is this the greatest dynasty in NBA history? We could sit here and debate that all day. It's hard to debate eras. The game was much different from, you know, now to the 90s and even to the 80s and then, you know, the 70s and so on and so forth. It's so tough to sit here and debate eras, okay? But, you know, it's hard not to look at what the Golden State Warriors have done. 5 straight NBA finals. That's the longest final streak dating back to the 50s of the Boston Celtics. It's hard to sit here and say, that's not impressive. No, that is incredibly impressive. Crazy impressive. And the fact that they did it last night without 3 of their starters, it just shows you that this team is so deep. And you know who does not get enough credit for how well this team has performed over time? And that's Steve Kerr. You know, there were many that looked at the success that Mark Jackson was having with this franchise before, you know, he left that franchise and the Steve Kerr era began and Steve Kerr leads them to championships. You know, people look at that and say, well, Steve Kerr didn't have to do a lot of work. I mean, it's no easy task to have to balance that kind of talent, because you know what comes with talent most of the time? Ego. And it happens. You know, I mean, for Steve Kerr to kind of, you know, fan the flames. Well, fan the flames is bad. To put out the flame. You don't want to fan them, but that'll spread. To put out the flame that was the Draymond Green and Kevin Durant beef earlier this season. We don't even bring that up anymore. It's like it's in the past now. Everything seems to be great. You know, for Steve Kerr, remember when Steve Kerr benched Andre Iguodala in favor of Draymond Green? A lot of people looked at that move and said, whoa, what are you doing? Do you see the numbers that Andre Iguodala is putting up right now? He's one of the best two-way players in the game. When that move happened, just look back at it. When that move happened, he got a lot of heat for it. But it turned out to be genius to have that kind of firepower in Andre Iguodala coming off the bench to instill that confidence in Draymond to start. It took both of their games to a new level, in my opinion. Genius. Steve Kerr needs to get more credit. And I feel like I have to mention that because we just forget about how good of a basketball mind he is. But, you know, it's amazing, though, when watching how, again, I brought up the stat during our quick hit headliners, how the Warriors were able to win this series in a sweep. And you look at the fact that they trailed more minutes than they were up throughout the series. That's mind-boggling. Draymond Green seems to be back to his old self. This is huge. He averaged 16.5 points per game, 11.8 rebounds per game, 8 assists per game, 2 steals per game, almost 3 blocks per game in that sweep over the Blazers. Those numbers are mind-blowing. More importantly, you know, he reportedly dropped 23 pounds before the postseason. And he realized, I don't know if you saw what Draymond Green had to say during his media availability 2 days ago, but Draymond Green seems to be getting more mature. And that's the thing that turned me off to Draymond Green in recent years. The constant whining and the crying, and he fouled me, and what are you doing? And every little thing he's crying over. It's just like, Draymond, would you just shut up and play basketball, man? Just compete. Stop crying to the refs about calls that you feel were missed. So he addressed that, and he said he realized that his on-the-court attitude was getting in the way of his talent. He said he found himself arguing about calls more than playing. That was brought up on the broadcast last night, courtesy of Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. That's maturity, and that's awesome. Because Draymond Green is at his best when he is locked into the game and not whining about every single call. Draymond Green, fantastic. Triple-dub for him last night. Also a triple-double for the man they call Steph Curry. He's unreal. Curry has elevated his game. All the talk about, Steph Curry doesn't show up in the postseason. He always goes ghost. It's like Curry understood the moment Kevin Durant was out for that game, that very next game after the injury during the Houston Rockets series. It's like Steph realized that, okay, I need to take over and I need to be that guy. You know, yesterday, 37 points, 7 three-pointers, 13 rebounds. Yeah, 13 rebounds and 11 assists for Curry in that game-clinching game 4. He was amazing in every game against the Blazers. And I think some people just forgot how good he really is. Steph Curry is really, really good. Newsflash. All right? And then the fact that, you know, Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins may return still. This team is just it's an embarrassment of riches. It really is. You know, Cousins, he isn't at 100%. But, you know, Boogie's a tough matchup regardless if he's at 100 or even at 70%, you know. And again, that depth, you know, Kevon Looney has been so effective
so effective in his 20 or so minutes per game. You know, and then remember game six against the Rockets, Curry was in foul trouble in the first half. The bench, led by Sean Livingston and Looney, they stepped up. And the Warriors were up by halftime. Alonzo McKinney, pretty good in replacing Andre Iguodala on Monday. I mean, it's amazing what they're doing right now. So I sit there and say to myself, and I made this statement a few weeks ago, that I believe this is the year for Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, but I just look at the fact that KD's coming back and that Boogie's coming back. Steph has elevated his game. They're so deep. It's like, how do you beat the Golden State Warriors? How do you beat the Golden State Warriors? That question is so complex, and I think the only way a team out there is going to beat the Golden State Warriors is if you break up this team come next year, because I think that's what's going to happen. I think that Kevin Durant is going to be gone next season because he's so, so sensitive, replying to cats who have like 100 followers on Twitter, criticizing them and saying, look, man, look, you're not even playing, and the Warriors swept the Blazers. They don't need you. That hurts KD's ego. He's so sensitive. He's like a, you know, I think he's the best player in the game today, but he's so sensitive and soft. His ego is. It's so sensitive. It's like Charmin, just so soft that, you know, he wants to prove to the NBA world that he can do it alone. He doesn't need to be on a superstar team like the Golden State Warriors. That's the only way you're going to beat the Warriors. Because if this team stays intact, it won't. But if they did, you'll be seeing a sixth straight NBA Finals appearance, a seventh straight NBA Finals appearance, an eighth straight NBA Finals appearance. They're just too good. Too good. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We got less than 10 minutes left. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. As if my Dallas Cowboys needed more negative press. I mean, my goodness. A video came out, around 10 minutes before I hit the airwaves here, that shows Ezekiel Elliott, former running back for Ohio State. If you remember, Zeke also was suspended for that whole domestic violence situation back in college. So he was suspended. What is that, 2 seasons ago now? Well, with the Cowboys. And a video has surfaced of Ezekiel Elliott being handcuffed at a festival in Las Vegas. This is what it reads. Ezekiel Elliott was handcuffed at the EDC music festival in Vegas over the weekend after he shoved a security guard to the ground. And you can see it. I mean, if you want to see it, just go to TMZsports.com and you can see the video. And he like kind of uses his shoulder, Zeke does, to like shove this guy into a railing, and the guy falls, the security guard falls, and then the next thing you know, Ezekiel Elliott is in handcuffs. Now, he was not, NFL star's attorney says that Zeke was not formally arrested, only detained, and that the whole thing is much to do about nothing. But and it also reads this. It says that Zeke had been spotted in the parking lot at the Electric Daisy Carnival around 3 a.m. on Saturday morning, arguing with his girlfriend. So
Yeah, now and in that video, he never puts his hands on the young woman, but he uses his body to block her from walking away several times during the argument. So, and then a short time later, Zeke and the woman are seen speaking with event staffers. When suddenly Elliot confronts one and says, "You got something to say?" And then that's when the shove happens. So, you know, this is not great news for the Cowboys. And further, I also want to say this. You know, this whole talk about a contract extension for Dak Prescott will, because Dak wants big money. He wants a big chunk of change. But when it comes to the NFL market and you compare Dak to some of the upper echelon big-time quarterbacks who are getting paid big money, Dak isn't necessarily in that category. Dak is a solid quarterback. Is he like in the category of elite, of the elite? No. But when you see, because at the end of the day, Dak needs to have Zeke in order to be successful, I think. We know that by now, right? I mean, just look at the whole suspension with Zeke and how that hurt Dak's game. But if you are Jerry Jones and you're sitting there with your team and you're sitting there saying, okay, should we give Dak the money that he's asking? Well, the only reason you wouldn't is if you wanted to give some of that chunk of change to Zeke. And Zeke is good, but when you look at a video like this, and these are I could see if this was a one-time thing, but these are recurring instances. Remember when the league investigated that whole situation in 2017 that led to that six-game suspension? These are recurring instances that if I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, who do we give Zeke a big contract and kind of shortchange Dak? I may go the other way because this seems to me to be a recurring headache for the Cowboys when talking about Ezekiel Elliott. Uber talented, but this stuff cannot happen. All right, that's it, folks. Much love to Brian Callaway. Thanks for Alec Rio behind the glass for engineering this Tuesday edition of Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place. Be easy, people.